evening the outline is not out of order. It is actually completely different. In fact, so is the text. I want you to go to the text that talks about pride, and we're not going to do that because it just didn't fit. We're going to do this text, which you probably don't even have to turn to, and that is, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to need some help. You guys tired?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's why they make you carry the load at night, you realize. All right, listen though. Listen very carefully. What we're going to do right now, you can't do in your own strength, no matter how not tired you are. So I want you to pray with me, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you very much that you have told us how to pray and that you have given to us that glorious request to lead us not into temptation and that you have promised to hear your people through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this evening that you would indeed strengthen us and encourage us in understanding what temptation is and in how you lead us not into temptation. We pray for this great blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First thing we're going to have to do is a little bit of review. Who remembers the guy that was standing up here last night? What was his name? Yes? Pastor. No, not yet. Pastor Jesse Purcell. Good. Okay. Now, Pastor Jesse Purcell told you that pastors do something for you. Pastors do something for you. You want to try? Okay, what? They tell you God's word, right? And it's like God speaks through them, right? That's what he said. And he said those pastors are a gift. They're a present. Okay, so I'm going to apply that. I want to work out the implication of that. Okay? Who was the man? You guys got great memories, right? So who was the guy before him? Who was the guy two nights ago? Yes. Pastor Mark Schroeder. So was Pastor Mark Schroeder a gift to you? Absolutely. Totally, right? Okay, good. And God spoke through him to you that night?
Yes.
Good. And you met Jesus through that last night? Or that two nights ago? Now, do you remember what he said? I want to remind you of what he said, okay? He told you about Jesus. He told you who God is. He said God is sovereign. Somebody help me out with sovereign. Anybody know what sovereign means? God is sovereign. That means, yes?
Powerful.
Powerful, what, yes? Holy and powerful are good. They go along with sovereign. God rules. Okay, now listen. Help me. Look here. I want you to say that. Sovereign means God rules. Say that for me, please. Sovereign means God rules. Good. Okay, nobody back there heard you. Say this again a little bit louder. Sovereign means God rules. Thank you. Okay, that's good. Okay, now wait. Does that mean God rules over me?
Yes.
Okay, does that mean God rules over all of us?
Yes.
Is there anything God doesn't rule over?
No.
You remember him? Okay, he said that to you, right? Okay, and he said that sovereign God rules over everything wisely, and he rules over everything wonderfully. He rules over everything justly and good, he said. All right? That's just so we're all on the same page here. Okay? And when he said that, Pastor Purcell was saying to you that you met Jesus in that. That you met God in that message. Okay? That's very important. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight is not everybody loves you like your pastors. Not everybody tells you the truth about God, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, okay? Now, since I don't have an outline out there, first point in my outline, and lead us not into temptation, yes, sir?
You're leading me a little bit to temptation. I need to know which one you're replacing so they can take notes on the right page.
Pride. I'm replacing the one on pride. Point number one is this question. What is temptation? What? No. Okay, good. Okay, you have answers, but listen now. Listen, this is what you do with an answer. I want you to do with these some of these answers tonight. I want you to compare your answer to what I'm going to say. Okay? Hang in there. Hold your answer and compare it to what I'm going to say. All right? All right. Now, in order to answer the question about what a temptation is, I want to read something for you. I want to read a story for you. And it's a story that's almost right in the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. And it's a story about a serpent. Okay? The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Okay? For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, hang on just a minute. All right. This is the way that story is characterized in the New Testament. It says there in the New Testament that the serpent deceived Eve. Now, what's another word for deceived? Yes. Tempted, good. Tempted, good?
Trick.
Okay, trick, good. All right, now, here's my problem. I'm trying to define tempted. So if I say tempted is tempted, you're not going to help them very much, okay? So what's another word for deceived? Anybody want to try? Okay. Pardon? Lie. Good, you got some help from the back here, all right? This is the first part. When you answer the question, what is a temptation is a lie. Now wait, can you say that for me? A temptation is a lie.
Temptation is a lie.
Excellent. Can you say a little bit louder? Thank you very much. Okay, good. Now, a temptation is a lie about two particular things, right? Two particular things in this case. Number one, God said something's going to happen in the future. He said, if you eat of that tree, it's going to be bad, okay? And the serpent said, if you eat of that tree, something good is going to happen to you in the future. What he said was, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be just like God. And he made that sound like, in the way he meant it, it was going to be a good thing. Now, when they followed Satan, was that a good thing? When they followed Satan, is it? Yes? The answer?
Really?
That's right. Really bad. Oh, good. Okay, when they followed Satan, that was a bad thing. Okay, so a temptation is a lie, right? A temptation's a lie. I'm going to get the exact word here I want. About God's consequences. Okay, now. So I want you to broaden that out for me a little bit. A temptation is a lie about God's consequences. Say that for me. A temptation is a lie about God's consequences. Okay? And you know what I'm going to say. How about a little bit louder? A temptation is a lie about God's consequences. Okay, one more time. Temptation is a lie.
Temptation is a lie about God's consequences.
Super. Okay, now, here's the part that gets to what Pastor Schroeder was talking about. Not only was it about the consequences, but it's about God's character. Remember what Pastor Schroeder told you? God is sovereign, he's wise, he's good, he loves you, right? And what did Satan say? Now, God really knows that in the day you eat of that, it's going to be bad for him, and he would never want that for you. You see what that serpent did when he tempted them? He lied about God's character. So a temptation is a lie about God's consequences, and it's a lie about God's character, okay? The answer's getting longer. You have to pay attention now, right? Okay? Temptation is a lie. Say that. Temptation is a lie. Good. Temptation is a lie about God's consequences. Good. And one more time. A temptation is a lie about God's consequences and God's character. Super. Thank you very much. That's good. Okay. Your point one answer to what is a temptation It's a lie about God's consequences and a lie about God's character. Now, I want to tell you something very fascinating. You're going to listen to this, okay? I want you to tell you something very fascinating about Jesus. Jesus was subjected. Jesus lived through every single temptation there is. Every lie about God's character, every lie about how the future would be good when God said it would be bad if you went down that path, or every lie about how God said it would be bad if you went down that path, right? And he lied about it and said it would be good. Every one of those, Jesus was subject to. And you read about that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Let me read that for you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We don't have one like that. But we have one who is in all points tempted as we are. We had one who was in all points tempted as we are. One of the most famous temptations that Jesus had to deal with was Satan himself came and said this to Jesus. He said, "If you bow down to me, I have the world and you can have it all." And Jesus resisted that temptation, and he resisted all of those temptations. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. If you were subjected to every single temptation, would you be able to stand like Jesus did without falling into that temptation? Yeah, and the answer?
Probably no.
Probably no. That's right. You cannot and have not and did not, right? You have been lied to about God's character, or you have been lied to about the consequences, right? And unfortunately, right, you have listened to that lie and not followed it. I'm going to turn to James chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to turn to James chapter 1, verse 14. And I want to read to you why that is. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 14. This is what it says. Each one, okay, everyone is drawn away, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Okay? Everyone is, it says, each one of us was drawn away and enticed by our own desires. That is, what happens when we're tempted and we sin is something inside of us is enticing us. That means it's saying to us, boy, it sure would be good in the future, or it sure would be good now if you did that. That's an that's the kind of enticement that's being talked about in here. That means inside of you, something is drawing you away, enticing you. All right? Now, let's go back and say, what did we say a temptation was? A temptation is a what?
Lie.
Now, if something inside of you is enticing you, tempting you, what's going on? You are doing what to yourself?
Deceiving yourself.
Exactly. You are deceiving yourself. You're lying to yourself. Exactly. That's what a temptation does. All right? Now, where does that come from? Okay, let's ask ourselves that question. No. That's good. This is a rhetorical question. Okay, now what I want you to do when that happens is compare your answer to what I'm about to read. Okay? Excellent. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2. It tells us to do what your pastors ought to do for you. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why is that? Because there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires. Remember what we talked about that temptation was? It was a desire. right? And so what Paul is telling Timothy is preach the word, because people will have desires. And these particular desires that he has to preach the word because of, it says there, they're going to have itching ears, and they're going to heap up for themselves teachers. And they're going to turn their ears away from the truth, and they're going to turn aside to fables. Now, you know what that means? That means the pastors who love you and whom God uses to bring himself to you so that you can love him and you can receive him. You know what those people say? Go away, get away, I don't want anything to do with that. And they begin to go do something else. They begin to say, would somebody please tell me? Would somebody please give me some other doctrine so that I can keep living in my desire? And what are they saying? Would somebody come and please lie to me so I can follow that desire? You realize how ridiculous that is? You realize how foolish that is, right? That's what they do. So they go read the newspaper and they say, boy, I sure would like to disobey my mother and father. Could somebody please give me some, quote, good reason to do that? I sure would like to go, I sure would like to steal. I sure would like to hate. I sure would like to be mean. I sure would like to, all those kind of things, right? And they look for a reason to do that. And here's, that's how it's characterized in 2 Timothy. Now, I want to characterize it for you one other way, and that's in Isaiah chapter 30. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 30 for just a second. And in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. There Isaiah writes for us, this is a rebellious people, lying children. Now, at least, who are they lying to? At least some of their lies. Who are they lying to? You remember? They're lying to themselves, right? At least some of those lies. These are rebellious people. They're lying children. They will not hear the law of the Lord. They say to the seers, or you could say in your day, an application, they say to the pastors, don't give us the word of God. They say to the prophets, don't prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Lie to us. Can you imagine saying that? Prophesy deceits. That's what they say. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Now get this. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Tell God to go away. That's what they say. That's where this lying comes from. You see what a horrible situation that is. But that's what a temptation is. All right? Now, point number two. I think we've kind of looked at what a temptation is. Let me do this. Okay, you guys hold on just a second. Let me talk to the back row here. Okay, for just a second. Okay, a temptation is a lie. That means there is an objective nature to it. It's outside of you. It comes to you. It says to you, go do the wrong thing. But because we're fallen, there is a subjective nature to it. Inside of yourself, you are lying to yourself. That's what a temptation is. It's both of those things. Now, of course, that comes to you because you're asking yourself the question, the next question in James chapter 1, which I didn't read. I'm going to go back there for a minute. James chapter 1. And verse 13. Oh, wait a minute. James chapter 1. Oh, that's why. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. Now, why is that true? Why does that have to be true? Okay, I'll even ask you guys in the front row. Why is it that there's no way that God could have tempted you? Because God can't. God can't. Yes? Sin, good, and what particular sin are we talking about? God cannot tell a lie. Excellent, good. Okay, God can't lie. All right? James chapter 1, back to verse 14. Verse 13, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's why Jesus can both have experienced all the temptation there is, because he experienced it objectively. Outside, he was lied to. But never on the inside did he lie to himself. Okay? That's a temptation. Now we want to ask ourselves, what does it mean to lead us not into temptation? Lead us not into temptation. What we're asking God when we pray that, is please don't put temptation in my path. Please don't put temptation in my life. right? Okay, now we got to think about this. Where's the source of temptation? Where's the source of temptation? Okay, the source of temptation is liars. Who are liars? Okay, good. Us, right? That's one. Who else lies to you? Who did I read you a story about someone else who's one of the most famous liars. Pardon? Satan, right. Satan lies to you. You lie to you. Who else lies to you? Yes? Well, everyone lies to you, yes. And in particular?
Yourself.
Okay, yourself, good.
Your sister.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay. Your sister lies to you because she has the remnants of corruption that God has saved her from, right? But there are people who aren't in as good a situation as your sister. Right? There are people who are outside of the church who are completely and totally and utterly are given over to lies. At some fundamental level, they lie to themselves. And you know what? They lie to themselves because they want to. And you know what they're going to try to do to you? They're going to try to convince you that what they're doing is a good idea. They're going to tempt you. Okay? So we lie to ourselves, Satan lies to us, and the world, we would say, lies to us. Good. Okay? Now, one of the important parts there is when you get down on your knees and you pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, what expectation do you have? What's your expectation? Do you think that no one is ever going to tempt you again?
No.
No, right? Some people, I think, in their mind, maybe do think that might happen. But what would have to happen to you if you would never get tempted again? Yes? You would have to be in heaven, exactly, right? In fact, the Apostle Paul says exactly that. He says, I told you not to associate with wicked kind of people, covetous people, lying people, those kind of people, right? And he said, but here's my point. I'm not saying don't associate with them at all. He says, I want you to not associate with them as if they are in the church and they want to call themselves Christians and they want to live like that. They want to say, okay, it's okay for me to lie to myself and I want to be a Christian. I want to be called a Christian. And what you got to tell them is you can't do that. And what we're going to do is we're going to separate you from us because we love you, right? Okay. But Paul says, I'm not talking about people outside the church, because if I was talking about people outside the church, you would have to, as this young fellow said, go to heaven. All right, good. But one of the results we do hope is that there will be fewer temptations. There will be fewer lies. And then, of course, one of the best things that we hope for that is we will lie to ourselves less. Would that be good? If you lied to yourself less? Yeah, it would be a lot. It would be really good. Okay. All right. You can see us. We'll talk to you. All right. Okay. Now, let me ask you. Okay, for those out there who are following the outline that I didn't give you. Question number one is, what's a temptation? Question number two is, what do we mean by lead us not into temptation? Make sure I have this. What exactly are we praying for, right? Question number three, what results do you expect when we pray, lead us not into temptation? And you can see that if the world is liars and we're liars, right, and Satan is liars, then they're not going to be utterly relieved of it, okay? Now, we want to ask ourselves, how does God not lead us into temptation? Paul writes to us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that there's no temptation that has overtaken you, but that it's common to men. No temptation. Now, what does that mean? That means there's no new lies. Ever since there have been men, there's no new lies about God's character. There's no new lies about the future, about whether when God says, if you go down this path, it'll be blessing, if you go down that path, it'll be cursing, and somebody comes to you and says, no, I understand that's what God says, but... Right? There's no new lies. Okay, and so one of the ways God deals with us then is instructing us, in helping us. Okay, He could do it just directly. He could just say, okay, in His providence, He will keep this lie away from you, and He can do that, and He does do that. But He also does it by instructing us. Now I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, give you some of that instruction. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Here again, we're speaking about Jesus. In all things, Jesus had to be made like his brethren. Okay, stop, because this is really important, okay? Jesus had to be made like his brethren. Who's he talking about? Who are his brethren? Who are Jesus' brethren in Hebrews chapter 2? It's his people. He's talking about you. It says he had to be made in every way like us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. That he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in all the things pertaining to God, making propitiation for the sins of the people. For that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus has suffered being tempted. Now, do you remember to the extent which Jesus was tempted? Is there any temptation Jesus didn't face? Any temptation Jesus didn't face? None, right? None. He was successful against all of them. That means, can he help you overcome temptation?
Yes.
Yes. How is he going to do that? He's going to do that by helping you to think like he thought when that lie came to him. When he was lied to, he, what our conference is called, walked by faith. He believed some things. He believed some things. And when he believed those things, then he could see that that wasn't, or that was a lie. And he refused to go down that path. And so one of the things he can do is he can help you to think like he does. All right? Here's an example. Or I'll try to give an example here. All right? You remember the temptation that Jesus was, Satan said to Jesus, I own everything. If you'll bow down to me and worship me, you can have it all. Now, what do you think Jesus was thinking at that point? Okay?
Well, I'm only going to have the world at the end of this meeting.
Good. Can you say that a little bit louder?
I'm already going to have it all
and everything. What was Satan promising? Satan was basically promising, I can give it to you for a year, 10 years, 100 years. But you know what's going to happen to Satan one day in history? He's going to be gone. He's not going to have that offer, if you will, to make it. Where the Bible tells us that Satan, in one sense, right, is the ruler of this world. And as far as God lets him, he can go out on a certain chain. But God holds that. And that's all Satan was offering him. But Jesus saw through it. And so when Satan comes to you and lies to you, you can think through the same things Jesus thought through. All right. Secondly, how does God restrain temptation by working through us? Proverbs chapter 12, 26 says that the company you keep may influence you to sin. They may lie to you, and if they lie to you, then what's going to happen? Right? So what kind of friends do you want to have? What kind of closest friends do you want to have? Right? Okay, now let's make a distinction here, because this is important. There's a very famous phrase about Jesus, that he was a friend of, he's a friend of sinners. That's right. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He did not stay away from sinners. But when Jesus withdrew, what kind of people did he take with him? Yes, he took sinners, but he took his friends who were aspiring to be like him. Okay? So when you go to school or when you go to certain clubs or those kind of things and there are sinners there, right? Okay, you associate with them and those kind of things. But when you withdraw or when you have your best friends and your closest friends, right? Those are the kind of people you do not want lying to you and tempting you. That's what Proverbs 12 is telling us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. The person who keeps himself, the wicked one does not touch. Now, what does it mean to keep yourself? It means to pay attention to yourself, right? And to all. That's what it means, right? It means to pay attention to yourself, right? And what in particular tonight that we've been thinking about that you've got to be particularly wary about yourself? What are you worried about that you're not worried? What do you think might happen that you might do to yourself that would be a bad thing that you got to keep an eye on yourself? You might lie to yourself, right? You might lie to yourself. And so you want to watch out for that. And it says here that the one who keeps himself, the wicked one, does not touch him. Or we could put it another way. When you're being tempted, what lie are you believing? When you're being tempted and it's enticing you and it's saying, you know what? Sure would be good to take that $10 bill laying right there. I know it's not mine. What lie are you believing? I'd be a lot better off if I had that $10 bill than if I obeyed God. Proverbs says, you know, when you steal something, it's sweet at first, but later on, it's like gravel in your mouth. Right? And that's what, the best thing to do is read that instruction, heed that instruction, leave that $10 bill on the floor, right? And so what is it that we ask ourselves in that situation? What lie am I believing? All right, now, I'm going to ask you one last question. Why does God expose his people to this temptation all the time? Why does God expose his people to this temptation all the time? Judges chapter 2, verse 21 and 22 talks about how God left the people of the world in the life of the church for this reason, so that he would test them whether they would keep his law or not. He would test them whether they would keep his law or not. How many people here think that those people at the time of the judges kept God's law perfectly? That is exactly right. No, none of them did. Now, when that happens, what do you know about yourself? When God put those people, they lied to you, and you followed them down the path, what do you know about yourself? I am a sinner. Exactly. Now, is that a good thing to know?
Yes.
That is a tremendous thing to know, because if you admit you're a sinner, then what are you going to start looking for as a solution, right? You're going to start looking for a solution. What can I do about the fact that God wants perfect people, perfectly righteous people, and I'm a sinner? You can, and that is when, of course, we read about how Jesus died to cover sins, how Jesus lived a perfect life so that we could have a perfect life reckoned to us, credited to us. Good. All right. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 14 give us a couple of other reasons. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, speaking of Jesus, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience because he suffered these things, and some of those things were temptations. Then if you drop down to the end of that chapter, verse 14, where the writer of Hebrews says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. There's a certain sense in which, I'm going to talk over just a minute, there's a certain sense in which God puts these kinds of trials in our life to mature us. And that we need those things so that we can discern good and evil. And if we do that, then what ends up happening, right, is that we learn something. We don't just learn it propositionally, but we learn it skillfully. It's not like algebra. It's more like welding. See? It's not like maybe English literature or something. It is more like understanding an art or something like that. Okay? So we would learn as a skill, not just as a notion or a proposition. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. That the genuineness of your faith, so one of the things that we're talking about at this conference is walking by faith, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, may be found to praise, honor, and glory. And there's some distinction there about whether that's the praise, honor, and glory of God or the praise, honor, and glory of you. But in either case, it's a good thing. Right? So that's what I want to leave you with tonight. Now, for you guys in the front row, I want to ask you again, what is a temptation? A temptation is the short form, a lie. Good. You take that with you. All right? And I hope that is an encouragement to you as the Word of God has come. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessing to us of opening to us and allowing us to see from the Scriptures what a temptation is. We thank you, Father, for giving to us the Spirit that we might be strengthened against those lies. We thank you that you have given to us the revelation of Jesus' mind so that we might think his thoughts after him. We might believe the things he believed so that the temptations, those same old temptations that have always come to men, we might see through them and we might exhibit skill in the power of the Spirit and in the grace of God in overcoming them. We thank you for giving to us Christ the Savior, who gives us that Spirit that we might walk and that you might not, or that you might lead us not into temptation. In his name we pray. Amen.